Hey everyone, welcome to Video Games Daily. I'm Scott Johnson. Nintendo trademarks suggest Nintendo 64 Classic Edition is indeed on its way. Looks like they're planning on releasing the next iteration of the classic console series, the N64, in a recent European trademark filing from the company. That looks like it's for real. On July 18th, Nintendo filed four graphical trademarks with the European Union Intellectual Property Office, it's called. And each one's a pretty simple black and white line drawing. It's art. 2D graphical representation of a console or a controller or whatever. One of them is definitely the three-pronged weirdo N64 controller with its three-arm design, central analog stick, and so on. Here's the reason it's notable, though. Two of the other trademarks Nintendo filed for this week were also discovered by a NeoGAF user. They consist of images we already have seen. One looked like an NES controller, the other looked like a Super NES controller. And, it seems obvious to me, doesn't it to you? I mean, I don't know. Nintendo of America was contacted. They said, "We have nothing to announce on this topic." Well, duh. Finally, some closure. The identity of the Doom Marine has been revealed. You will not believe this sexy, sexy secret. Anyway, you want to know who the model on the cover of the original Doom video game was? Have you been asking yourself this question for 20-plus years? Well, legendary game developer Brenda Romero's husband, John Romero, said that the model they had hired for the shoot, for the cover art, just wasn't understanding what they were looking for, so he took matter into his own pecs. Frustrated, I threw my shirt off and told them to give me the gun and get on the floor. Grab my arm as one of the demons, Romero wrote. Defeated, he deferred. I aimed the gun in a slightly different direction and told Don, "This is what I'm talking about." So there you go. It's the model's fault. It's pretty iconic, right? If you look at that cover. Anyway. I don't know why I thought this story was interesting, but hey, it made the list today, and I hope you enjoyed it. Doom, the cover, the Marine. Finally, all answers are eventually revealed, right? Pokemon Go's new update lets you be a little lazier than you were before. You don't have to walk all the way to the gym and back, it turns out now. Let's dig into this. The latest update for Pokemon Go adds a small, but I think useful feature for those who, keep a lot of their pocket monsters at gyms. Players can now feed berries to their gym-defending Pokemon remotely, which means you don't have to hoof it all the way over to the gym anymore. I mean, the word go is in the app, so you still need to go a lot, right? Anyway, you don't have to go all the way over there anymore. The berry feeding mechanic is one of the freshest additions to the game. It's part of Niantic's big gym overhaul in June. Developer gave players a new incentive to check out Pokemon Go competitive features, bonding with their Pokemon by giving them berries, which would in turn help them stay motivated to fight at the gym. The only real downside doing this remotely is, you won't become as motivated if you don't, are you going to feed them? It's kind of like if a 7-Eleven's right down the street, you ever going to go there anymore? Was it more likely you'd go there when it was further away, when it was harder to get to? Sometimes convenience has this weird paradoxical opposite effect. Anyway, the feature's likely to get a lot of mileage in the colder months, of course. That's when it would make the most sense. If you live where I live, you get some nice snow in the winter, and maybe I want to do that stuff remotely. Maybe I do. All right, in other Doom news. That's right, two big stories from Doom today. 6.66 update will make all DLC free. Whoa. Previously paid DLC will now be free and revises the multiplayer progression. And the price also drops to $14.99. You get free weekends coming to all platforms. It looks to me like they're ramping up Doom again. I don't know why, but anyway, their latest update, they're calling it the 666 update, 6.66. Get it? Number of the devil there and all that. Is retiring the game's premium season pass and makes all of its multiplayer DLC content absolutely free for everybody. Which I'm stoked about because I never paid a dime for that stuff, but I wanted to kind of look at it, so I'm happy to check that out. They're also revising the multiplayer progression system, as I mentioned, and a bunch of other changes. So here are the now free bits of DLC. Unto the Evil, Hell Followed, and Bloodfall packs. Those came out between August and December of last year? Yeah. And that was 9 maps altogether, 3 more guns, 3 playable demons, armor customization, special abilities, and more. Season pass for all the DLC originally cost you $40, so that's a pretty good deal. Also, overhauls Doom's unlocking system for additional guns, equipment, playable demons, and customizations. So that's coming. Here's a quote from Marty Stratton, Doom's director, who says, "Now, if there's a specific helmet you want, you can work toward unlocking it by focusing your playstyle on the related challenge." I like the sound of that. It's pretty good. For those of you who don't have it, this is the big deal. Bethesda has cut Doom's price to $14.99 on digital marketplaces only, so that's Windows, PC, Steam, blah, blah, blah. Wherever you can get it digitally, just not the box copy. On Windows, PC, and Xbox One, you can also try it over the free weekend beginning Thursday, July 20th. That's today. And at noon, Xbox One, and 1 p.m. for PC. PlayStation 4 owners can try a free weekend beginning noon Thursday, July 27th. So it was delayed for who knows why. And there's also a free trial, so you guys can check that out. I don't know. Seems like they're into making Doom big again in 2017. Hey everybody, how's it going? Scott Johnson here with Video Games Daily. And here's the deal. I was out of town, I went camping, and I've been gone for a couple of days, so I'm here to catch up. And there's stuff to talk about, like Pokemon Go's first legendary Pokemon got revealed. And they did it at that Pokemon Go Fest thing that's been going on. It is going to be Lugia. Am I saying it right? L-U-G-I-A. Again, not a big Pokemon person, so I don't know. Second one heading to the game soon as well. That'll be Articuno. Articuno. Now, some of you are going, yeah, Scott, duh, those are great for whatever reasons. I don't know. Anyway, there's going to be a special raid battle for the second one. That's how you'll get it. But all attendees of this event are going to get their Lugia in their accounts with no need to battle for it. So they're just going to straight up get it. Originally, they were going to have to unlock and fight the legendary monster at the event's end. But there were serious server issues. So they said, you know what? You're all here. We'll just let you have it. It's not a problem. Did anyone go to that? Because I'd sure like to talk to one of you. Maybe right here on the show. Seriously, if one of you went to Pokemon Go Fest and you want to talk to me about it right here on Video Games Daily, I would love to do that. So hook me up, son. Looks like Overwatch could be getting some new weapons, or weapon skins, or maybe both. Maybe perhaps the ability to change them. Everyone loves Overwatch skins. Now, you could argue there are already weapon skins in the game, because when you change your character skin, your weapon is skinned according to that skin, right? So if you're Junkrat and you got the Halloween-flavored one, your ball chucker thing is now kind of Halloween-designed. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like that. But now we're talking about separating the two. This is according to evidence discovered by some Redditors in a recent video from developer Blizzard Entertainment. Currently, characters' weapons are tied to their skins, like I mentioned before. I think the only weapons that exist independent of those skin choices are the gold ones. And you get those through competitive matches, earning competitive points, blah, 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 right? We all knew about that. But Yeah. There's good reason to believe it. During this video, they say at about the 4 minute mark, there's a glimpse of Soldier 76 wearing his classic skin, but he's holding a never before seen heavy pulse rifle, very different rifle. And the underbarrel rocket launcher is still there, although it appears to have a couple of prongs above it. Anyway, that could mean a lot of things, but it's entirely possible you're talking about a totally different gun weapon or gun skin with his default skin. Led people to believe that perhaps the guns and the skins could be separate at some point. Anyway, we're hoping that this is true here at Video Games Daily. At least I am. I like this idea a lot. Bring it on. How many fists can Doom fist?
Ooh, time to change it up.
Enemy contact. Watch your six. An eye for an eye.
All right, Destiny 2 is starting to get some early beta feedback, some impressions from around the internet, from players who are part of the beta, as well as some publications, websites, blogs, places that normally see this sort of stuff early. Oh, why would my phone be ringing? Let's decline that. That's only a little annoying, isn't it? Anyway, the Destiny 2 beta is now open to anybody who owns a PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. It has not yet landed on PC. We're expecting that in, 25 days or something? But some folks at various sites have played it and getting their bearings in there. And the general feeling is, from many, Destiny 2 plays a lot like Destiny 1. And some are saying that's a very good thing. That's what we want. Others have said, maybe a little more than Destiny 1 is what I'm looking for a $59 game. Some say they weren't expecting it to be that different. Some say they were expecting much more than they're getting. But the one thing they're all saying is that this is multiplayer, mostly beta. We're not talking about a lot of the single-player content, although there is a lot of story at the beginning of this. In fact, I've heard tale, I haven't played the beta myself, but that the beta, or the first part of the beta, is actually better than the entirety of the story of the first game. So if that's the case, then maybe we're in good hands. If not, we're screwed. Either way, you excited about Destiny 2? Will you be getting it on PC or console? Let me know. Scott at frogpants.com.
Enemy contact. Watch your six. An eye for an eye.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Video Games Daily. I'm Scott Johnson, and there's some news in the Splatoon 2 world. I bought this game. Been playing it. I really like it. I didn't play Splatoon 1, so I don't have a lot of reference points for what that whole deal was about. But, yeah, playing a lot of Splatoon 2. And people are complaining about a frustrating multiplayer quirk. They didn't, I don't know. I didn't know this was a problem. Anyway, many are saying it's a worthy follow-up to the Wii U's, successful first game. But what really makes it worth the dip is the co-op mode, according to some. That is called Salmon Run, which is, we've already got a lot of fans. People like it. And turns out Nintendo doesn't really want you to play too much of it. If you've seen Salmon Run live on YouTube, people play that there. Anyway, you can see how this thing works. Up to four players work together to take down three waves of enemies, each of whom have unique weak spots, drop golden eggs in their wake. Hitting an egg quota for the time, before the time runs out, moves you on to the next wave. It's a pretty crazy, fun, cooperative thing to do. And people like it. Here's the only problem. Salmon Run is only playable online on a schedule, putting some severe limits on what many think Splatoon's most fun addition is. So when they revealed how it would work, they kind of have it as like a, oh, hey, it's almost like Pokemon Go or whatever. It's like, oh, a thing has hatched. Everybody run and get the thing that hatched. Oh, no, a thing has hatched. Anyway, it also does local multiplayer. But it's like raids. And I haven't had to deal with this yet. What do you guys think? Nintendo news, Overcooked is coming to the Nintendo Switch this week. By the way, I picked up something called Goner for the Switch. It's a, I don't know what to call it. It's like a roguelike shooter thing, artistic nightmare weirdo game that is also on Steam, but I missed it there for some reason. That came out late last year or early this year, and now that's on Switch, and I'm kind of in love with it, and I'll talk about that later. But if that wasn't enough for you, Overcooked is coming to the Switch, and again this week. It's a great multiplayer game if you haven't checked it out before. Team 17 is the publisher, developer Ghost Town Games. We'll release Overcooked Special Edition on July 27th. This comes out on the Nintendo eShop. There are a lot in here, including 44 campaign levels, which can be played solo or couch co-op with four players, 9 versus levels to play head-to-head locally or with 2 to 4 players, 22 different chefs to play as, humans, raccoons, dinosaurs, French bulldogs, robots, and even more, and a bunch of new kitchens that weren't in the original game. Anyway, I have heard that the solo experience is not nearly as good as the full-blown multiplayer stuff. And I've only seen this played. I've never played it. But many, many are saying it is one of the best multiplayer games of all of 2016. And if you want to see this thing, now's your chance, I guess, if you own a Switch. It's also available on PlayStation 4, Windows PC, and, of course, Xbox One. So this is nothing new to those folks, but if you are a Switch owner, buyer, and that is now your primary platform for playing of the video games, Overcooked is your jam. Well, Niantic had a horrible week last week. So did attendees of the Pokemon Go Fest. Pokefest. No, it's just Pokemon Go Fest. In a quote, a spokesman from Niantic says, "This is clearly not what we were hoping for." In case you guys missed it, it went real bad. As poorly and as badly as it could possibly go. Visitors who traveled far and wide from around the world, and country of course, spent hours in the blistering sun, unable to play the game due to massive bugs and server errors. And nobody felt that heat more than Niantic, games developer. It went real bad. And it's not just, I mean, the whole event is the whole idea is everybody gets together and you all play Pokemon Go. That's why this exists. It's not to come listen to a bunch of panels. It's not like a typical Comic-Con thing where there's a lot of that sort of stuff on display. It is to bring the Pokemon Go community together so y'all can play together. Whew, did not go well. It says, obviously they can't completely make it up to the people who have come out to Chicago today, but they want to extend the fact that they are extremely apologetic and unhappy with the process and the results, says a spokesperson to a small group of press. Quote, hopefully this is something we will never see replicated again, learn from this, and move on. They offered some compensation. You got $100 in in-game currency for all ticket holders. Not long after that, they also offered full refunds to everybody for their $20 wristbands. I assume that was like their badge to get around. I don't know how that worked, actually, but anyway. Niantic put out a much softer apology on its website. I just know the staff here are pretty horrified with the results. I'm super sorry, guys. I'm really sorry, especially for anyone who traveled international, East Coast, and from all over. This is clearly not what we hoped for. Thanks for your patience. Anyway. I think they kind of maybe should have prepared more. Maybe didn't have a giant patch on the day that you're doing your thing or having all these server issues. I mean, you got to plan for this stuff. This is your whole reason for having this event. And so many people showed up. Thousands of people. Come on. Pull it together. Get it together. Don't do that again. Well, Fortnite finally available for early access on PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Following years of development, numerous tests internally and externally. I think a complete art overhaul at one point, if I remember right. But anyway, it's been in development forever. This is the tower defense slash survival game hybrid thing from Gears of War and Unreal Tournament creator Epic Games. It's finally ready to launch. It's in early access, however. I don't know how that works on PlayStation 4 and Xbox, though. Can they do that? Or they have to call it a beta? I don't know how that works. Anyway, it is, when it comes out, it will be free to play. But right now, this is sort of like paid early access. And if you're interested, you want to do it now, you can pay $40 for the standalone version of Fortnite. This includes access to the game, its various bonuses, such as loot packs and additional customization options. More expensive versions of the game, including a deluxe $60 package, super deluxe $80 package, and limited edition $150. They come with other bonuses like weapon packs, additional hero characters, bonus copies of the game. You can share with your friends, that kind of stuff. It honestly, I've seen what I've seen of the game, and I think it looks neat and all, but it's basically Orcs Must Die. Have you played that? I mean, that's the game it reminds me of. It was first revealed back in December of 2011. I remember this. Cliff Bleszinski got up on stage. He was still working at Epic then. And they showed this sort of cartoony survival game where you explore and scavenge, and a lot of that stuff stayed in, but it's changed quite a bit as well. Anyway, if you want to play this thing, you're going to need some pretty hefty specs also, it turns out. 8 gig of RAM minimum. Oh, no, 4 gig. I'm sorry. 8 gig is what they're recommending. That's not too bad. And a Core i3 2.4 gigahertz as a minimum. That seems a little high. GTX 660 or AMD Radeon HD 7870 or equivalent for DirectX 11 play. Anyway, I'm anxious to see what the world thinks finally of this game. I mean, we're almost 7-8 years into when this thing was originally announced, so now it's playable. I don't think I'm feeling all that anxious to spend $40 on it. I will wait till it's out, but for those of you lucky enough to give it a shot, let me know what you think. Scott at frogpants.com. That'll do it for today. See you guys next time on Video Games Daily. Hey, get that microphone over here. It's time for Video Games Daily with Scott Johnson, and I'm here to tell you something you may not be real happy about. New TSA rules are out today, and they're going to force iPad, Kindle, Nintendo Switches all into the X-ray bins. That means lines are going to be longer. It used to be you could just keep this stuff in your bag, but now you gotta pull them out. It says here, devices like tablets, e-readers, and gaming handhelds will soon join laptops in the class of electronics that need to be placed in a bin for X-ray screenings. May not seem like a lot until you realize how many people that is and how slow that will go. They say the revised guidelines are meant to address an increased threat in aviation security and raise the baseline for aviation security worldwide. Longer lines, bigger pain. I mean, I guess you could take a Nintendo Switch and jam some sort of explosive device in there. I don't think that's that crazy of an idea. But the TSA kind of lost me that year. I had a big knife in my bag and forgot I left it in there from a campout. And it sat in my bag both ways, and no one stopped it or caught it. Or did anything, so I don't know why they're worried about my Switch at this point. I don't want to editorialize too much, but come on. Anyway, good luck to you. You get some of that stuff, and most of you do. You gotta put it in the tray. The Nintendo Switch, speaking of Switches, sells another 2 million as the company's profits surge. They're still projecting 10 million sold in the first year. That is a strong, strong number. So the Switch has sold 4.7 million units so far, and ARMS has already sold 1 million copies. ARMS did pretty well for them. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, both launch or launch window titles, have sold 3.9 million each and 3.5 million copies worldwide. ARMS launched on June 16th, barely made it into the reporting window, and they moved 1.18 million. Splatoon 2, which came out a little bit ago, is expected to do pretty well. Did not make the cut for this reporting, of course. By the way, that game's pretty great. I kind of can't stop playing it. It's weirdly stupid fun. They really got something with that. I didn't play the first one, so if I act like I'm new to it, it's because I am. Anyway, Nintendo's last quarterly report said it sold 2.74 million Switches in the first month of its launch. That means Nintendo has sold 2 million units from April till end of June. And they maintained its estimate of moving 10 million will happen by March of 2018. By comparison, the Wii U sold about 13.56 million consoles between its 2012 and discontinuation in 2016. So it took a long time for that to kind of pan out. And that number was never very great. 2DS XL launched in Australia and New Zealand in mid-June. That accounted for 20,000 units sold. And the worldwide launch for that thing is not until, when's that? That happens soon. Or is that out now? Well, anyway, either way, all this stuff is boosting their third quarter net sales. Gross and profit, operating profit, all that stuff are all at four-year highs. That's crazy. They expect 2018's fiscal year, it would be their highest operating profit since 2011. Think of that. Xbox Games with Gold for August looks pretty good. You're going to get Bayonetta and Red Faction. Also, Trials Fusion. So that's another thing you can get. Anyway, that's pretty good. These are the Xbox Live Gold subscriber free games that are coming out there. If you don't have an Xbox and you have a PlayStation, this is a bit like PlayStation Plus that they do every month with free games. Also, Slime Rancher, I have this on PC, little indie title, life sim thing. That launches on August 1st. And will also be available on Xbox One for the entire month. Slime Rancher has been available in Steam. That's where I have it. Then you get Trials Fusion. You got Bayonetta. Bayonetta's what? How old is this now? 2009? And then you got Red Faction Armageddon. It's the last title in the third-person shooter series, but it's also old. I mean, it's a good game. Don't get me wrong, but it's been a while. Anyway, there are 6 days left in Xbox Live Gold members to collect Grow Up and Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, the video game. And if you haven't already got those, get in there. Why don't you want your free stuff? Come on, guys, get your free stuff. Private Warcraft server that was restoring the original Burning Crusade expansion has been shut down hours after it went online. 4 years of work by a single fan, gone, done. I don't know what he expected. But anyway, it's another one of these private servers running an old version of Warcraft, this time not vanilla, but actual Burning Crusade. I'm starting to think it's a little ridiculous. What, are you just going to keep working up through the expansions as time moves on? Anyway, they shut the whole thing down. It's called Felmist. It's a project by Gummy52, as he was known. Would have been a World of Warcraft Burning Crusade expansion sort of deal. And he worked on this thing for 4 years, as I mentioned before. Did it while he was unemployed, coping with multiple sclerosis. That one's not going to help the story much, is it? It's not going to help the optics for Blizzard. Anyway, the effort to restore a vanilla server of World of Warcraft resembles other fan-driven legacy stuff like Nostralis. Similarly shut down, although it took a little longer. They were closed a couple of times. Those people met with Blizzard. Nothing really came out of that, but Gummy52, according to Ars Technica, is considered releasing the source code and hosting Felmist in another jurisdiction that would be harder for Blizzard lawyers to reach. He's unsure of the legal exposure, so he's working with people on that. Felmist was going to support 3,000 players. He said he hoped its small size would avoid legal action from Blizzard. It did not. Literally hours after it had gone up, he was notified that he would be sued into oblivion if he didn't take it off. I don't know how to feel about these still. I'm kind of torn. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Video Games Daily. I'm Scott Johnson, and if you're playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, you're happy about this recent patch, I'm thinking. It added car horns, Xbox controller support, and FPS-only servers. That's a pretty big update. I'm annoyed with it, though. I played it last night, and what annoys me about this update is that the controller thing kicks in whether you want it to or not. So even though I'm playing with a keyboard and mouse, it's not smart enough to switch to, say, you know, use E or F or whatever, all your little on-screen prompts and stuff. Instead, all of those prompts are tied to an Xbox controller. So hit X, hit A, whatever, trigger, blah, blah, blah.
that's fine, except I don't want that when I'm playing with a computer, so there's no way to that I can see to turn that off. There may be a way to turn it off indefinitely, but the way I've been doing it is unplugging the controller, so that's a little bit annoying. You're also getting car horns. It's really a thing. It's a small thing, but people, I don't know, got excited about this idea of honking a horn, alert your enemies, but also your friends. I'm still not entirely sure why that's cool, but anyway, there's also a new weapon in the game. This new weapon is a Mark 14 Enhanced Battle Rifle, MK14 EBR for short, and accepts all sniper rifle attachments, so a new sniper rifle, essentially, which is good. The game doesn't have near enough of those, in my opinion. There are new faces, new hairstyles, first-person-only servers. They want to cater to the hardcore people. And so this mode is purely first person, no third person, which I don't know how that makes it more hardcore, but I guess it does. I feel like the other way is just fine, too. There's also a new feature that is should limit the practice of kill stealing or sniping players who have been, you know, first downed by somebody else. So some people kill knocked out teammates in order to avoid giving kill count to the opponent who knocked them down. Now the kill count will still go to the opponent in this specific case. So in other words, you're not going to take credit away from the enemy if they kill your knocked out guy. Anyway, lots of updates, lots of stuff happening to that game. Continues to be well supported. NES Classic pre-orders will be open later this month. This is according to Nintendo, an actual confirmed report. So you will get another chance to pre-order the device. And, of course, you'll have a final chance to grab it on launch day. So if you want to brave that, you can do that. But anyway, they're going to do this. They confirmed this on Facebook. Said there are a number of stores that will take early purchases in late August. Should you miss out on that stuff, of course, you can grab it when it's released. Quote, a significant amount of additional systems will be shipped to stores on launch day and throughout the balance of the calendar year, according to the Post. Walmart, if you remember last week or a week or two ago, what was it, a week ago? Lost track. It was at a family reunion again. Anyway, they caused a stir because they flipped on the switch for pre-orders. Turns out it wasn't time yet. A bunch of people did that. They got canceled without being told why. But Target has already confirmed that it will make shipment available for pre-orders sometime ahead of the SNES Classic September 29th launch. And we will keep you posted on when that changes or what happens. Stardew Valley's multiplayer lets you marry your friends and more. You're going to have to wait a while, including a little beta period for this testing to happen, but Stardew Valley's multiplayer update does remain in the works, as promised by developer Chucklefish, who's still, I assume that's still one dude, or maybe you made enough money, there's more guys. Now, anyway, in a post on the game's website, Chucklefish designer Tom Coxon talked about how multiplayer shakes up the Farming Sims gameplay and that marrying your friends or hiring them to work for you are all going to be possibilities. That's interesting. By the way, there will not be any local split-screen options for multiplayer, so you're going to have to do this purely online. It will rely on Steam and other platforms' online invitation system to get games going. I think that that's fine. The multiplayer update to Stardew Valley has a ways to go. They do not expect it to arrive until early 2018. That's not going back in time. 2018 on Linux, Mac, and Windows PC. Consoles will get the update too. That will start with the Nintendo Switch, funny enough, despite all of its multiplayer problems. Anyway, you're going to have to wait like a year before you are farming with your friends and marrying other dudes that you know in real life. Or ladies, dudes or ladies, whatever. PlayStation Plus subscribers are going to be ticked in the Europe area, in the EU, I guess. Although, is it still the EU, or is Britain screwed all that up now? Whatever. Expect your PlayStation Plus subscription to go up in those parts of the world. That is reminiscent of the price hike for U.S. members last year. So we already bit the bullet on that one, guys. Don't get all mad at us. We had to do it already. This starts on, let's see, August 31st. A full year membership for those in the United Kingdom will go from £39 to £49.99. For those in the European Union, the price will jump from €49 to €59. It's kind of a, they were already a little higher. Of course, these aren't, you know, currency rates aren't exactly matching up right now, so who knows what that is. The information comes via some weird anecdotal reports via Twitter, and it was all about an email that Sony sent to PS Plus members in Europe. The email has since been verified by Eurogamer. No reason for the price increases was given by the email, although it probably echoes the increase to members in the United States last year. As you know, it's required to play online games, so and as well as other things, right? Other benefits. Reddit user somewhere created a really interesting chart breaking down the increases for the United Kingdom. If you want to go look at that, you can certainly Google it. Looks like Sony, as of today, responded with a statement regarding the price increases, and here's how it goes. There's no specifics here, but they say this. Quote, we are changing the pricing to reflect various market conditions while enabling us to continue providing exceptional value to our members. Titanfall 2 has gone free, and it's only there and available for free on EA and Origin Access. Hop in, pilots. Get in there. Get your pants on. Put on your helmet. Get in there. Titanfall 2 is a great game, by the way. If you haven't played it already, you should. Anyway, it's for free, or is available for free now for anybody who has a publisher Electronic Arts subscription service, their Origin Access thing, for Windows, PC, and Xbox One. So those two platforms are covered. If you have it on PlayStation, sorry, too bad, so sad. Anyway, it's the latest entrant into what they call The Vault. It's a growing collection of games that are free to subscribers of EA Access on Xbox One or PC on Origin there. Actually, I guess that's called just Origin Access. EA announced in early July that its two biggest games of fall 2016, Titanfall 2 and Battlefield 1, were both on their way. We do not know when Battlefield 1 will arrive there. That thing's still selling really well, so I don't know if they want to do that just yet. At any rate, the way this thing works is you get $4.99 a month or $29.99 a year for a little bit of savings. That gets you access. EA announced earlier this month it will be removing a game from the EA Access library in October 2013's FIFA 14. This will be the first instance of a delisting of a game. So this is like, imagine like a big thick straw and you're putting a bunch of marbles in it. It can only fit so many marbles before one of the marbles has to come out the other side. Although that scenario doesn't work at all because there's no limit and they don't have to really take them out. But they're gonna. So get used to it. Hey, what's going on? Let's move this microphone down here and get a little Video Games Daily in today. I'm Scott Johnson, Monster Hunter XX. Is that 20? I don't know. Anyway, if you're interested in the Monster Hunter series and what was happening on the Switch, you're going to get the Nintendo Switch demo version next week. Specifically in the Japanese eShop on August 10th. So if that was a thing you were hanging on to do, now's your chance. Switch version of Monster Hunter XX. It's been hotly anticipated by people who like that series. Look, I'm not going to pretend I'm a big Monster Hunter expert or fan. Okay, because I'm not. This show's all about the headlines, and I feel like I need to bring you the ones, even the ones I'm not interested in as much. Since the console itself is region-free, there's no reason you couldn't grab this. You don't have to have a Japanese Switch or anything weird like that. You just have to create a Nintendo account and select the right region. Once you create that account, then you link it to yours. The thing is going to be in total Japanese, so if you're looking for localization, that ain't going to happen until the English version comes around. But at any rate, if you're into Monster Hunter and the Monster Hunter series, you're probably also looking forward to Monster Hunter World, which is arriving on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One in early 2018. A PC release is also planned. Also, there's a next entry in the 3DS series, a turn-based RPG spinoff called Monster Hunter Stories. I feel like Monster Hunter is Capcom's new money bag. at least everywhere but in my house. Friday the 13th has sold almost 2 million copies. That means that's enough of a threshold to get a physical release, and it got dated. Turns out horror games sell and sell well. Lots of press around the Friday the 13th game. Very buggy launch. Controversy surrounding the still in-development single-player mode. Despite all these issues, the game has still managed to sell a good number of copies. 2 million copies. Publisher Gun Media announced today the game has moved that many units, and they say that despite all their launch issues and issues surrounding post-release, they're still going to have this thing come out on retail. Quote, it's been a long 2 months from our team here at Gun and Ilphonic, as I said. We've had an incredibly supportive and dedicated community since we launched, and while things haven't been completely smooth, we definitely feel confident moving forward. The team has grown, and we are committed to work to add more content, more kills, more to do. And, of course, the single-player component of the game, unquote. So, if you were worried they were going to slack on that, apparently they still have a reasonable commitment there. The retail version coming to PS4 and Xbox One will happen on Friday the 13th this October. Get it? Friday the 13th is the release date. Oh, my goodness. Includes a bloody Jason skin and a free clothing pack for playable camp counselors. It will cost $40, same price as what you're paying for digital right now. If you currently own, say, the Steam version, expect no PC retail release for that, but do expect continued support for that game, they say. This is one I've held off on getting until everyone tells me everything's smooth and nice, and maybe we're there, and maybe it's time. Enemy contact. All right. The Overwatchers Summer Games event returns. Remember last year? They did it all around the Olympic Games, so that was weird, right? I mean, that was the point of having it, but they're going to do this every year, it looks like. Overwatch's Summer Games event returns August 8th. That is next week. Now with even more Lucio Ball. It's now going to be an annual, and their original, mind you, seasonal event. That's a Tuesday, by the way. It will return to Overwatch, Lucio Ball, that is, as a limited-time event, and this year they're adding a new stadium, Sydney, Australia, alongside the returning Rio Stadium map. The developer is also changing some of the rules for Lucio Ball and has removed the ability to boop enemies with Lucio's sound wave attack and has changed the way his ultimate ability works. No longer pulls the ball toward the player, Blizzard says. Instead, they have increased Lucio's speed and the speed of his boop. Which I guess is, so it's still in there? So the boop is in there, but it's not in there? Yeah, whatever. Anyway, they're going to have a bunch of new cosmetics and stuff you can roll for in your loot boxes, including new skins, new sprays, new emotes, and the old stuff. Last year, you couldn't buy those things without or with credits. This year, you'll get the Summer Games 2016 content at a reduced cost. So that's cool. New legendary skins are going to cost you 3,000 credits. The stuff from last year, 1,000. Epic skins, 750. Last year, 250. Rare tier will cost 225 for the new stuff, and rare for the old stuff at 75. Common tier across the board will also be 75. Anyway, if you're excited about it, then get in there because, well, Tuesday's your day. The Witcher is getting a coloring book. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Literally, The Witcher, you know, The Witcher series, is getting a coloring book. It's called The Witcher Adult Coloring Book. It will feature, you guessed it, at least partially, Bathtub Geralt. He'll be in there. Comes out in November. You'll be able to fill pages and pages of Witcher artwork with colors from your own imagination. A collaboration between series developer CD Projekt Red and publisher Dark Horse Comics. The Witcher adult comic book is going to be a trade paperback thing. 96 pages. Going to be a 10x10 square design. Adult in this context refers to the complexity of the line drawings in the book. Don't expect to see a bunch of, you know, nudie stuff. No wieners or boobies or anything, okay? So that's a thing. Is that a thing you want, though? I feel like if you're really into The Witcher, this might be a thing to get. I have a friend who's so into The Witcher that how can I not pre-order this for them? Because she's going to love it. So I think that's what this is more for. It's more for gifts. Anyway, expect this. By the way, illustrated by Mariana Strykowski, I think is how you say her name, Yun-Chen Tang, and Scott Wade. Will sell November 1st for pre-order. Or the pre-order price right now is $14.99. So get your bathtub Geralt on.